I invite you, please, this evening to open your Bible with me in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Our opening hymn this evening constrained me, brought me again to this portion of Scripture. O Christ, in Thee my soul is found, and found in Thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the love till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. Thank God this evening for such a wonderful Savior as our Lord Jesus. And it's of him that we read in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 7. His name is not mentioned in this portion of Scripture, but it's all about him. It says, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. May God bless his word to our hearts. Words. Words are a little bit like the coins in our pocket. They soon devalue. I say that because the coins in our pocket, I don't have to convince you of that. I look around and see many people here remember the days of the halfpenny. These young people in the front wouldn't know what a halfpenny is. As a matter of fact, looking around, I see some who maybe they remember the farthing. They go back that far, but they have since fallen out of circulation simply because they've lost their value. Words can be a little bit like that. They become a little bit archaic and we don't use them so much more. And I find such a word here in verse 26. We're speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says this word, for such a high priest, that is Jesus Christ, for such a high priest became us. The word I'm underlining is this word became. In the context of Scripture, it was a tailor's word. A word that was used by a tailor when he would make a garment that would become the person. That is, fit the person, suit the person. Many of you men remember the days before Marks and Spencers when you went to Burton's and you got measured for a suit. They measured your shoulders, your waist, your leg. And 2 weeks later, you went back and you got a suit that became you. It was tailor-made just for you. Likewise, the ladies remember the days of going to the dressmaker and a few days later you go back for the fitting. And she would say, why, it fits you like a glove. It was, nowadays we go to Marks and Spencer's and it's size 40, 42, 44, 46, well, not get to your size, but you know how it is. But this term, when it speaks of Jesus Christ becomes us, suits us, fits us. That is not in the sense that Jesus Christ was made for us. Rather, to the contrary, we were not only made by Christ, we were made for him. The sense here is that without Jesus Christ, our lives are empty. Without Jesus Christ, my friend, we are void. There is an emptiness in the human heart simply because Christ is not present. And that is why the writer here reminds us that Jesus Christ becomes us. I remember this came to me a number of years ago with a great impact. We were going back to Brazil. I was taking a ton and a half of baggage back with it. And that ton and a half of baggage was with barrels and boxes. And amongst it all, we had two metal airtight trunks, bigger than this lectern that I'm on here this evening. I purchased them at Allison's, the tropical suppliers in London, and they came, we filled them, and we dispatched them for Brazil. When we got to our little town away in the upper reaches of the Amazon, I found that that airtight trunk, designed to keep our clothes from what we call the mufa, from the mold of the tropics, the mildew, as we would call it here. But we found that the metal trunk was useful for something else. You see, in our town, there were no banks. The safest place to keep money was in the metal trunk under lock and key. At that particular time, we were running a small hospital, a 13-bed hospital, and I was the administrator of the hospital. It meant that all of the money that came into the hospital for use in the hospital, we kept it in the metal trunk under lock and key. Added to that, we were also building a church. It was only a simple church. God was blessing. People were being converted. The old house that we had bought was too small, so we were going to knock it down and build a new church. So all of the money of the church was kept in the metal trunk under lock and key. Added to that, I was the treasurer of the mission. So any petty cash of the mission, it was kept under lock and key. My colleague, Dr. Geddes, had gone home. He had left some money to help some poor people, so we kept that under lock. And you'd be thinking this was a treasure chest. So much different money in it. I mention all that because I remember one day coming home from hospital, I needed to pay a bill, and I went to open the trunk to get the money, and I couldn't find the key. Now, I know this never happens in your house. It happened in our house. We play the game. I lose the keys, and I've just got to try and find them somewhere. And so on this particular day, I came home and I said, Audrey, where's the key? And of course, being the wife she is, she said, it's where you left it. Well, it wasn't where I left it. I searched the house up and down and just couldn't find the key. But listen, we had so much baggage. We had lots of keys. We had round keys and flat keys, long keys and short keys. And about 36 keys, I remember going through all the keys, and I couldn't find a key that would fit the lock. And so I decided I needed to get in this money. By now the perspiration was rolling off us in the tropics, and I decided I needed to destroy the trunk so I could get to the money. So I went down to the tool house, and I got there a crowbar and a hammer. And for over an hour I worked with that steel trunk to try and get it open, but it was so well made I couldn't get it open. And then guess what happened? Audrey found the key. And when Audrey found the key, it was the simplest thing. It was a matter of putting the key in and turning the lock, simply because the key became the lock. I say that this evening, my friend, because Jesus Christ is the key not only to life, but to eternal life. Jesus Christ is the key to salvation. That's why He becomes us. That's why we need Him. We sang again, I say, O Christ, in Thee my soul is found, and found in Thee alone the peace, the joy I sought so long, the love till now unknown. Now none but Christ can satisfy. No other one can satisfy the emptiness of the human heart. Alas, on our world this evening, there are men and women who, in that mad pursuit for pleasure and happiness, are trying to fill the emptiness of the human heart with so many other things. Some, alas, are seeking it at the bottom of a bottle tonight and in alcohol. Some at the end of a needle. Others who are more sophisticated are trying to fill the emptiness of the heart by filling their homes and filling their pockets and cluttering up all the things that they can own to try and fill the emptiness of the human heart. But none but Christ can satisfy. Jesus Christ becomes us. I remember the days of Ivan Thompson, Ivan the evangelist, who went to be with the Lord some time ago. But Ivan used to say that before his conversion, he went to Celtic Park on the Donegal Road in Belfast every Wednesday night. They had long since stopped playing soccer at the Celtic Park, and it was on Wednesday night that they ran the dogs. Ivan said he went there and he gambled all of his money every Wednesday night on those dogs. That is, until one night he was walking home in the rain from Donegal Road to Rathcoole, 7 miles in the rain. And the dogs were going home in taxis. He realized it was time he gave it all up. But what happened to the dogs was this, that when they opened the hatches, out came those galloping hounds, greyhounds, running after something. And two things about what they were chasing. First of all, they never caught what they were chasing. Secondly, what they were chasing wasn't real. I think that's exactly how it is in our world's mad pursuit for pleasure tonight. They're grasping, as it were, to straws, hoping that that will satisfy, hoping that that will secure, hoping that that will give to them what is missing in their heart. And my friend, the only thing that's missing in the heart is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ becomes us. That is why, not only in this verse, but in the context, the neighborhood of this verse, it gives to us the reasons why Jesus Christ becomes us. Why Jesus Christ is exactly who you need. It tells us that Christ is exactly who we need, and he becomes us. Why? Listen to what the previous verse says. It says, because he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto the Father by him. That's why we need Jesus Christ. My friend, when God sent his Son into the world, he didn't send him as an educator to inform our minds. He didn't send him as a legislator to bring in new laws. God loved us and sent him to be exactly who we needed to be for him to be. He came as a savior. You remember that the angels above Bethlehem, they stood and they said these words, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a savior who is Christ the Lord. Why? Why did he come a savior? Because that's exactly who we needed. My friend, the guilt and the burden of sin had plagued generations. Men and women for generations had longed and looked for the day when God would send to them a great deliverer. And thank God when Jesus came as Savior. The Bible tells us that God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And that's why we need Jesus Christ tonight. Who can wash away our sin? What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this Bible tells me that outside Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. As a matter of fact, this verse reminds us that he is able to save unto the uttermost. Not only did he come to be Savior, but my friend, by virtue of the fact that he went to the cross of Calvary, bore our sins on his own body in the tree, entered into death, destroyed our death, rose triumphant. Thank God tonight, therefore, he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto the Father by him. And wasn't it a happy day for those of us who know Christ the Savior when we came and bowed the knee and called upon the name of the Lord and we proved that he was able to save the likes of us. Thank God tonight he is able to save. And not only able, thank God he's available. You don't have to go to Jerusalem or some distant land on a pilgrimage or pay some sort of money. Why, the Bible says he's able to save all who come unto him. My friend, the only thing you need to do to be saved tonight is to come to Christ and call upon his name. Confess your sin. And thank God this Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm sure that if each Christian in this meeting was to come to this platform this evening and tell us why they became a Christian, they would say what this verse says, I became a Christian because Jesus was exactly who I needed. I needed a Savior. Not only in this meeting, but this Bible is replete with people who prove that to be true. For example, over there in John's Gospel, there is a man in chapter 3 by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the Bible tells us, was a teacher in Israel. He knew all about the history and traditions of Israel. He knew all about the ceremonies of the temple. He knew all the intricacies of the law. He had it all up here, my friend. He was a very intellectual, educated, respected man in society. And when he met Jesus Christ at midnight, he posed this question to the Lord Jesus and said, no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He was engaging our Lord, as it were, in an intellectual argument or discussion. But our Lord Jesus Christ, in answering him, didn't answer the problem of his head. Jesus addressed the problem of his heart. And in reply, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How is it possible, said Nicodemus, for me, an old man, to be born again? It was as if he could start again. But my friend, may I just remind you, our Lord Jesus Christ began to speak to him of a new life, eternal life, abundant life that is in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, I say again, he had it all up here, but what good is the head if it's all full of knowledge, if the heart is empty? And you know something? If we were to bring Nicodemus here tonight, for later in life, Nicodemus did come to Christ, and ask him to tell us why Jesus meant everything to him. He would say this to us, I'm sure. Jesus was exactly who I needed. I knew it all up here, but my life was empty, dead, dry. That's why on that day Jesus spoke to me not only of how God loved me, but of how Jesus gave his life for me. And Jesus gives his life to me. So much so that John chapter 3 finishes with that verse. It says, he who has the Son hath life. But he who has not and believes not the Son of God shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides upon him. My friend, Jesus is exactly who he needed, Nicodemus. Likewise, in the city of Jericho, there was a very rich man. His name was Zacchaeus. The Bible tells us that Zacchaeus, perhaps the richest man in Jericho, when he came to Jesus, he came running to Jesus. So anxious was he climbed up into a tree and waited for Jesus to come by. He didn't know that the Savior was seeking him. Jesus came to where he was, for Jesus knew where he was, called him by his name, for Jesus knew who he was, and then invited him, commanded him, for Jesus knew exactly what he needed. He said, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And the Bible tells us that Nicodemus, he made haste, came down the tree, received Christ, and took the Savior home with him. If we could bring Zacchaeus here tonight and put a little box for him to stand up on his tiptoes, he would say, Jesus was exactly who I needed. I had my pockets full. I had everything that I needed. My house was filled. I was living at the top of the social scale, but my heart was empty. My conscience was troubled. My sin was real. But thank God for the Savior who came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Zacchaeus. We could go on and speak of a young rebel from the town of Decapolis. The Bible tells us of this young man. He was now possessed with demons. He lived on the hills, slept in the caves, kept company in the graveyards. He took stones and tried to cut and scar himself. One day when the Lord Jesus met him on the other side of Galilee, the Bible tells us that Jesus put the demons out. This young man was possessed of a legion of demons, thousands of demons that trampled all over his heart and mind and body. But when Jesus came, he put the devil out and gave to the man a brand new life. I can see that young man going back to Decapolis at the command of the Savior to tell his parents the great things God had done for him. As he goes back down the street, you can hear the slam of the doors and the slam of windows. They think the demoniac is coming again. Here he comes. Grab the children. But this time there's a difference in his life. There's a spring in his step. There's a song in his heart. There's a light in his eye. And why? Because he found Jesus. And if we were to bring him here tonight, he would tell us of that life when he was possessed with demons and how Jesus made the difference. And he would say, Jesus was exactly who I needed, for he is my Savior. My friend, that is why I say again this evening, Jesus is exactly who you need. He becomes you, for he is Savior. There's another word here. If you look at verse 26, it says this word, for such a high priest became us. This word, high priest, it is referring to the Lord Jesus. But the word priest is a word that is greatly misunderstood. The word priest is... let me put it this way. In Latin, the word for priest is the word pontifex. Anybody ever hear of the pontiff? I guess you know what the pontiff is. It is the priest. It comes from the same source as the word bridge. For those who speak Latin languages, you will know that in Spanish and Italian and Portuguese, the word for a bridge is the word ponche. Ponche and pontiff come from the same root word, and it just simply means a priest. A priest, my friend, is a go-between. That's what Jesus Christ says of himself. Such a high priest becomes us. My friend, may I say that when we have Jesus Christ, we need no other priest. Why, Jesus Christ is what the Bible calls our desman, our mediator, the one who can put his hand in heaven as God of very God, for he is the Son of God. And yet he can put his foot on earth because he is the son of Mary, Jesus of Nazareth, man of very man. The Bible tells us that great is the mystery of godliness, that he is God, manifest in the flesh, the God-man, identifying with heaven and identifying with earth. And thank God, by his death, he has opened up a way for us back to God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And that is why I say tonight, Jesus Christ is our bridge to God. He is everything we need. When I read this word, it says in verse 26, for such a high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. I read that and I find that Jesus Christ is everything that I am not. The Bible reminds me that all of us are sinners, ungodly, wicked. My friend, the Bible reminds us that all of us were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Sin is passed upon all of us. But here is Jesus, absolutely sinless, impeccable, the Son of God. He is everything that I am not. But thank God he came, and in the great exchange, he took my sin on his body on the tree. And he has imparted to us, imputed to us, his righteousness. That's what Christ has done for us. And that is why tonight he stands as our great bridge to God. I remember when we lived in the United States of America, we used to go down to Florida for our holiday, down to the missionary home in St. Petersburg, the D&D missionary home. I'll give you the address later if you want it, but the D&D missionary home it's called. And we used to take the rented car and we'd drive down the Sunshine Skyway. The Sunshine Skyway would go over the down by the bay, and the name of the city's gone from me, but it does not matter. It was a beautiful, what they call the Sunshine Bridge, that would go across Tampa, that was the city, across Tampa Bay on the road down to Sarasota. Sarasota was beautiful, and that's where we were going, but when we got over this beautiful bridge, the girl said, Daddy, take us back over the bridge. The bridge arced up into the sky and down the other side. Daddy, take us back over. I mean, it was $2.50 every time we did it, and Daddy was about broke, but they enjoyed the bridge, over the bridge, over the bridge. In 1983, a terrible accident happened, a disaster. A ship coming into Tampa Bay at 3 o'clock in the morning. The master on the bridge was out of his mind, intoxicated with drink. He ran that ship into the stairs that held the Tampa Bay Bridge, the Sunshine Skyway, rammed it into the stairs. Those stairs buckled, and the central section of that bridge fell into the briny waters of Tampa Bay, followed by a car, five of its occupants, all of them were killed. Why? Because the bridge couldn't hold them. Thank God tonight in Jesus Christ we have a bridge. Unmovable, unshakable, indestructible. He is the rock of ages. He is everything we need tonight. And that's why he becomes us. That's why he becomes us. Do you have him tonight? None but Christ can satisfy. No other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy. Lord Jesus, found in thee and found in Christ alone. He's exactly who we need, for he is Savior. He is everything that we need. For why? For he is sufficient. But listen to what it says here as it finishes. He needs not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. He is not only exactly who we need as Savior, everything we need is one who is sufficient. He's the only one we need. Why? Because he is the sacrifice. That's what it's speaking of here. It's comparing the Lord Jesus to the priest of the past. My friend, for over 2,000 years, priests had come to the altar. They brought their lambs and their sheep. They brought their oxen and their turtle doves. And blood was continually flowing around the altar. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ came, and himself on the cross,
give his life for us, shed his blood for us, then Jesus Christ paid once and for all the price of He was, as we were saying, the ransom. He gave his life a ransom for us. My friend, that is why we need pay no more, do no more. We need no other sacrifice. He tells us a way over in 1 Kings chapter 8 of the dedication of the temple. In the dedication of the temple, King Solomon was coming up to worship the Lord. And the Bible tells us that as he worshiped God, it was a great sacrifice. As a matter of fact, what the Bible says is this, that on that day, 1 Kings 8 and verse 62, on that day, Solomon offered unto God 20,000 oxen. Now, farmers, listen to that this evening. 20,000 oxen, 20,000 head of cattle. Think of that. What a sacrifice. But added to that, the Bible says that on that same day, he offered 122,000 sheep, 142,000 animals, all slain in one day in Jerusalem. The blood was flowing like rivers. My friend, as the flesh was burning on the altars of Jerusalem, while the whole city was filled with the aroma of the sacrifice, there was no sacrifice ever seen like this sacrifice. And yet Solomon had to come back the next week and offer another sacrifice and another sacrifice and another sacrifice. Why? Of bulls and goats and animals could never wash away the stain of our sins, could never take away the guilt of our sin. But the Bible tells us that this man, by one sacrifice made for sin forever, thank God, has perfected this work, has procured our salvation. And that is why the Bible tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ is us. It's in him that we have redemption. It is through his blood that we have the forgiveness of sin. And that's why we preach the cross. Why? Because Jesus Christ was not only the priest, he is the altar, he is the sacrifice. And on the day that Christ died upon the cross of Calvary and cried, "It is finished, paid in full," the Bible tells us that the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. The flame that had burned on the altar, consuming sacrifice after sacrifice, on that day, the sacrifice consumed the flame, and Jesus Christ is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto the Father by him. Don't you see tonight? That's why you need him. Jesus Christ becomes you. Why? Because he saves you. Exactly who you need. Because he is sufficient. The everything you need. Because he is a sacrifice. My friend, he is the only one you need. I remember holding a mission down the Irish Peninsula many, many years ago. And I told the story of a man who on the peninsula had attended gospel meetings. And as the preacher preached night after night about the cross, this tall man resisted the call of God. But God was speaking in his heart. One night he didn't go to the meeting. His wife went to the meeting and he minded their little 4 or 5 year old daughter. And the little daughter wanted to play church. Said, "Daddy, we'll play church." And so they sang a hymn and they did all that the little girl would do, playing church. When it came to the end, she said, "Daddy, let's close our eyes. And let's say what the preacher says. Just as I am, without one plea. Daddy, you say it. Just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me." That's right, Daddy. "O Lamb of God, I come to thee." Daddy wouldn't say the words. "O Lamb," Daddy said, "O Lamb of God, I come." Daddy didn't say it because he couldn't come. There was something holding back in his heart. "Daddy, say the word, O Lamb of God, I come." With that, the mother arrived in, and very soon they put the little girl up to bed. And Daddy, before he would go to sleep that night, went in to look. Well, his little daughter, now asleep on her bed. But as he bent down to kiss her,
kiss her. The little girl looked up out of her sleep. And she said, Daddy, Daddy, would you not say, O Lamb of God, I come. The father was melted and there at the side of his daughter's bed, he bent the knee and received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. My friend, tonight, he's able to save you to the uttermost if you come to God through Christ. Heavenly Father, bless thy word to every heart this evening and give to our friends in this meeting who know not Christ the grace to do what they need to do, the grace they want to do. Help them to come to Christ just now. Bless thy word to every heart, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.